Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports and business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the outdoor and sporting good industry. In cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry, whose digital tools optimize the customer journey and increase the sales of brands and their retail partners. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts and enthusiasts. Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of speaking with special personalities from the sports and outdoor industry. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts. Today, June 23 in 2023, I look forward to my meeting with Christophe Gordonnier, founder and CEO of Lagopit. Hello, Christophe.
Hello, Kim. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Me too.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, we'll see where we get. And it's really great to have you here. So our partner for business is Outra, digital ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry. Christophe, the people we invite stand out because they have a special charisma for the industry. They are, so you are, either very innovative or different thinking, particularly motivating or and impressive by the view of things. You are described as a super creative financial engineer, and together with your partners, Julian Desécurie, who is an engineer, and Pierre Derieux, who is a strategic consultant, you founded Lagopit. In the passion and in everything you stand for your brand, it's overwhelming. So to start for our podcast and for the listeners and viewers, it would be great if you have some words on yourself, on your personality, what makes you tick, who are you, Christophe?
Thanks, Kim, for the introduction. I hope I will not be too much disappointing in terms of the outstanding people you are usually.
Too humble, as always.
You are usually receiving and interviewing. So, yes, thanks for the intro. So I'm Christophe. I'm based in Paris. I have a family of four kids. I love mountains, and that's what led me to set up, to launch the Lagopit project in 2017. And basically, yes, I worked for 20 years in financial markets, in banks and asset management, so very far away from textile, but not that far away, in fact, because there's a link between the Lagopit adventure, beside, of course, the passion for mountaineering. And the link is about commodities. So I was really working for 20 years in the commodity sector, which is, of course, extracting things from the earth and transforming it into what we are using on an everyday basis. And that gave me that sensitivity to the extraction and the risks and the damages that it cost to the environment. So that's the link with the adventure, when it all started in 2018 with the first sales of our first jacket and pant, and here we are today.
Not too fast. So seeing it personality-wise, creative finance engineer, that's what you said in our pub calls and how I met you first. So seeing Lagopit as a journey, you said you started 2017, and maybe before we deep dive into the journey, just tell us what Lagopit is. Give a short description on facts and figures for those who are based in other countries or in other sectors which do not know what Lagopit is. A short, brief description.
Yeah, sorry. So Lagopit is designing and manufacturing outdoor garments, basically for all the year outdoor activities, from winter to summer, climbing, alpinism, skiing, and so on. And there are two very big pillars in the company. The way we manufacture is really driven by two main aspects. First, we only use recycled fabric. So the idea is not to use extracted new resources to make our own garments. And the second one is that we only manufacture and source, so not only the manufacturing, but also the sourcing, only in the European Union, from the thread to the garment. So all the value chain is in the European Union, involving a lot of countries.
Okay, thank you. And for fact and figure based, how many customers do you serve, and where's your turn oversharing knowledge, what you want to share to public?
Yeah, so we distribute through wholesalers that are mainly based for the moment, but that will change in the future, mainly based in France, Belgium, and Switzerland, so the French-speaking part of Europe. So the next step is to go to the non-French-speaking part of Europe. And we have like 60 doors, around 60 doors distributing us on these markets through wholesale. And then we have, of course, our online sales. And interestingly, we developed right from the beginning another distribution channel, which is we provide garments for groups and corporates. So they can be ski clubs in Germany, for instance, that we already equipped in the past, or ski clubs in Belgium, of course, mountain guides bureau in the Alps, but also companies like not at all involved in tourism, but they like our approach, either from an environmental standpoint or from the social standpoint. And we provide the garments for them. And of course, we put their logo beside our logo. And they can they share that garments with their, or they offer them to their employees, and that helps them to promote the values of Lagopet, which they share, of course.
We come back later to the values of Lagopet. Let's start where you started. So 2017, I see Christoph working in a bank and deciding to change his life.
Exactly. So I wanted to do that for a long time already. So I was just looking for the right project and to have the courage of doing it, to make the move. And it's all about meeting people in the end. So I met one person, a Dutch guy in Switzerland at the climbing gym, indoor gym. And he was a bit in the textile and trying to find projects there. So that's where it all started, just discussing and meeting people. And after a few months, I realized that there was an angle, there was something to be done in that sector. So that's why I started working only in the project.
So, and seeing the journey now, some years later, where did you start from? The first launch was 2018, correct?
Exactly.
How big was your collection by that time?
At that time, we had only one jacket and one pants, and one set, and one for men and one for women. So it was pretty small. It's a very strange to go to ISPO only with that amount of products to show. So the booth was rather small, but it was already too big for the collection. But anyway, it was just to start and also to find the production manufacturers, because for a project like that, you need to convince people to follow you in the adventure. So you need to find other adventurous people, suppliers, manufacturers who are ready to go on that crazy journey.
Before coming to the crazy journey parts, how big is your collection now?
So today we have 65 different products in our collections. So that's a big expansion in just 5 years. It's a lot of work on the product development to make sure that all your products are very fine and well accomplished, well developed, well designed, the colors. So it's yes, it was a big effort to develop the collection. It's not finished, but what we like in the product development, what I like also is as we have timeless collections, so we spend time on developing products, testing, and so on. But then we keep them forever. So it's not a work that has to be done again, and people can enjoy. So the products we launched 5 years ago, so we're not that old for the moment, but are still on the shelves. So it's also a sustainable way of doing things. And it's very rewarding because when you spend time developing a product, changing it every 6 months or every year is a bit frustrating.
And then that also reflects already your values, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The sustainability does not to change all the time. And if as a product developer, the people developing products within Lagoped, so they're happy. They know their work for years, not just for months or just for one season.
And when you were describing Lagoped, you said the values. Is there something more you want to share before we deep dive into the journey you made with Lagoped over the years?
Yeah, of course. So the values are the same values as the outdoor values, in fact. So they might be shared by a lot of people. So the first one is the freedom. That's the main first value of the company. So we decide which route we want to take for the journey, exactly like in the mountain. You can go, if you look at the mountain, you can go wherever you want. And there's no limitation. So it's just when you choose your route, and you need to be prepared for it. and there is no, in mountains especially, and in alpinism, there is no turning back. You know, there's always a point in the climbing where you know it's, you need to go to the top. You will not be able to go down because you don't have enough equipment to go down. So the only way is up. So that's what I mean by the freedom to choose. And that's related. And the fact that you cannot turn back is the second value of Lagoped, is the commitment. So we are really accountable for what we do. And that's why we do it in the European Union, because that's the only way we found reasonable for us to be accountable for what we do. So we don't hide somewhere. We are, and what I mean, commitment, committed and accountable means we can be sued for what we do if we do things wrong. So that gives us a lot of comfort in being able to say what we do, to be transparent. Because people can easily check, and we can be blamed for what we do, but not only on social networks, but also in front of court with the judge. So that's what I mean by the commitment, which is a very strong value in mountaineering. So no turning back, and you take responsibility for what you do. And the last one is sharing. And again, that's why we do it with the way we do it. So using recycled fabric in the European Union is that we share the value of what we do with all the value with all the chain of this, all the supply chain, the manufacturing chain. So of course, prices are not the same in Europe. There's a reason for that, because behind there are social and environmental rules, regulations, and it is a way of living. So it's an overall. So that's why we have that sharing. So just like in the mountaineering, where you share the responsibility with your rope partner, you are buying that same rope. If one falls, the other one will fall. So there's a clear relationship and interdependence. We share the risk together, and we take the fruit out of it. So these are the three values of Lagoped.
And combining what I knew before we met first time and now with your values, the most overwhelming thing was your authenticity paired with what you think in digitalization and the use of data.
Yes, well, you want me to speak about that, Anna?
Yes, please, of course. this was such an experience thing where the office is in your background right now. So for those listeners who also see our picture, they will see how you work. And this is the combination, super professional and high educated financial engineer, as you were saying, plus data management for an outdoor brand starting with 1-1 on men and women. So the journey is super impressive and drive us through.
Yeah, thanks, Kim, for the compliment. yes, the data is, when we speak about data, it means a lot of different things, but the brand is a lot of data that you need to manage correctly. So and there is a lot of optimization to be made in the way you manage your stocks. You mutualize your fabrics, your trims. So there are a lot of optimization on that field. And right from the beginning, so I was doing it mostly on my own, so with very big files. And now we have, but it was worthwhile to be able to do it on my own so that thereafter I can find the right tools that are really adapted to the way we look at the business. And so today we have very good tools. So from the production to the end consumer, we have tools handling our business, which allows us to be less people in the end, more productive, more effective, and to have less risk to carry because we optimize a lot of the parameters all along the value chain. So data management is, I think, is very important. And that was a big, before I started textile, I thought I would quit Excel forever because that was one of the purposes of living the financial world. But there's a lot of Excel in textile, in fact, and hopefully my background was very helpful.
So seeing it from the inspirative part of the podcast use, that is, can you share the beginning when you started the brand and then saying, okay, you need to implement data and to work differently with that? So concrete, how concrete was that and where did you start from? What was the beginning on the data management for an outdoor brand like Lagopedis now?
Well, basically, you have a lot of references to manage. You need to share your referential with all the distribution channels that you are using. So you don't have to underestimate the quantity of data you will have to handle. So you need to be able to handle numbers and a lot of lines in different categories and so on. And mainly that's what we do is even a bit more complex than maybe traditional brands because as we have timeless products, it's easier, in fact, and you can easily understand, it's easier to have one collection than for one season, then you stop the collection, you start a new one, you have a blank sheet to some extent, and you start over all the time, which is not very sustainable for the environment, but it's easier to implement financially and in terms of data management. When you carry on timeless products on all your collection, well, that's not the way it is organized, first. And second, so you just need to be to have a clear view on your stocks, on your future orders for wholesalers, on your projection for sales, so that you don't produce too much. You produce exactly what you need according to your... So there's much more work to be done when you work the way we do than traditionally with season and more fashion style of handling textile business.
So to bring it to a point when I was surprised is that your main work as founder and CEO is not happening on research for where are the market developing in terms of styles, colors, etc. But you put yourself focus on the data management, correct?
Well, that was the... At the end of the day, and the brand Lagoped and all the brands are all about product, style, fit, and color. So anyway, that's really the center of your proposal to customers. So that's where I've put most of the efforts. I would say the data side is more a tool and that allows you to optimize and navigate for the first years in a very tense and tight resources business, because you have low resources, you need to be very accurate on what you do, because your resources are very scarce, you need really to optimize the way you use them. They are always scarce resources, but they are particularly scarce at the beginning when you launch a company.
And sharing what makes it so special, how you look at the things you work with, it is also you named it as a cash creativity. So combining the data management with your cash flow and what you do as a small brand.
Hey, this is a commercial. Do you know what Deuter, Ortofox, Atomic Bergans, DeWalt, Sport 2000, Bechley, Sportler, Schuster, and Globetrotter, plus several other outdoor brands have in common? They are outdoor enthusiasts, yes, of course. And they work together with the Outra ecosystem, which is a game changer for brands and retailers. The Outra tools for data exchange and data analysis enable a flow of sales like you've never experienced before. With Outra, where to buy, consumers can directly see on a brand's website in which stores a product is available. With the Outra Data and Image Hub, brands and retailers can finally exchange product data and images efficiently. Interested in testing the Data and Image Hub? Take the opportunity and request a free demo of the with your brand specific data. It pays you back quickly. The offer is valid until Outdoor by ISPO in June 2024. Sign up for this ecosystem and become a major player in outdoor bike and sports industry. Contact and information at outra.com with a double T.
And can you give us a journey on that? Because that is something what makes Lagopede in a different position, of course, in the country you mentioned, but also in the management of the full year and then putting it to seasons. So your cash creativity as a first, what do you think, people want to know on your cash creativity?
Yeah, there's no big magic. Huh? I'm not a genius. It's very easy to understand. But basically, right from the beginning, you know, we do the same color for men and women. So it's not a super genius idea. But that's something that is not really done in the textile industry. So I would say it's maybe a bit innovative, but there's no genius in that. So that allows us to mutualize everything we do between for fabric production. So that allows us to have less MOQ, the same MOQ, but we can fill the MOQ easier. We have less leftover at the end of the season. And as we have timeless products, we have, in fact, no leftover because we exhaust all our fabric production. And if we want to stop one color, for instance, we just do the last meters, the jackets we can do, and then we stop that color. So there's no, it's very, very efficient and effective, not only for environment, but for your cash management and your business at the end of the day. So it's really a way of decreasing the risk. So you can decrease the risk and at the same time decrease your environmental impact. So it's clearly, basically, it helps us to bear less risk.
Commercial. Outra, a digital tool for the outdoor bike and sports industry. What it is? Through data exchange and data analysis, Outra enables a highly effective sales flow in retail. With Outra, consumers can see directly on a brand's website in which stores a product is available. They can make reservations and pick up the product. They can research for alternatives and make appointments with the brand retail partners. Partners such as Deuter, Ortofox, Atomic, Bergans, Sport 2000, Bechley, Sportler, Sportschuster and Globetrotter are working together in the Outra data system to create a new customer journey. Outra has become one of the most important players in the outdoor cycling and sports industry. So take the logical step and join. Contact and information at outra.com with a double T. Commercial over.
Exactly. When we started the session right now, it was on humbleness. And of course, your background working as a bank authority made you also setting up the brand in a different way. And when we talked about cash creativity and data management, that is one pillar of the Lagopet, let's call it success or also risk management. And seeing, you said, the 5 years of getting budgets ready, working together with suppliers, using supply chain data, etc., brings all to one point, which is, of course, not always easy in the markets as a brand like you are. But you also said that there are, let's call it inspiring visions, how you set up the finance of Lagopet.
Well, in the end, we had, as I said, you have scarce resources, so you need to be creative.
You called it smart money, by the way.
Yeah, smart money. So you need to be smart to, because you don't have enough money. So the idea that I always bear in mind is that you may not be the best soccer team or football team in the world, but you have the right to play and you can win. So it's just, you can see that basically you see that in football. That sometimes the most expensive teams are not the one winning the cup at the end. So it's not just a question of putting money on the table. It's really finding the path, finding the way. So, and in that construction, you need to have the right team, of course, with you on board, but also the right. Again, it's an ecosystem in the end. So you need to have the right suppliers, the right manufacturers, the right products, the right way of mutualizing the fabrics, the colors. For instance, we use a lot of the fabric of our technical jackets from Sympatex. We use this fabric also for our fleece, to make like shoulder protection. So there are many ways of not producing too much. So you need to be creative also on the design of your products, on the color combination, think in advance what will be used for what and how you could use that fabric that you use for your three-layer jacket, for instance, to put on a fleece, to put on another product. So we do that also for the shirts we're doing. We use the shirt fabric for our fleece. So there are many ways of optimizing what you're doing, but one of the good angle is not to look only. People usually very often look at the environmental or sustainability subject as a constraint, like it's constraining the business and so on. But we see it as a way to minimize your risk. So it's all about risk management in the end.
Yes, that was the intro for the next question, because if you see it as a compromise or setting the boundaries, that is also what was the first and beginning of Lagopet, seeing this as the chance. And when you introduced the brand to me, by that time it felt as if you take the best out of the boundaries. So can you tell us a little more, or the listeners now, which kind of boundaries did you face and what did you make out of it as a chance and as a vision?
Yes. So basically, for instance, when I started the company, I met a lot of people active in the textile industry, presented my project, and most of the feedback I received was that, no, it's not possible. No, it's, there's no, not enough capacity. There is no more textile expertise in Europe. So that's really the feedback I was receiving most of the time. So the challenge was to build that or to find the connections, because, of course, a lot have shifted to Asian production. So there you can do, what you can do, and it's quite easy to start. But doing it in Europe was really the main challenge, in fact, and to just build that ecosystem of people active in the textile sector. So yes, there are capacities in Europe. Yes, there is expertise. Yes, there are people who know what they do. They've been doing it for really decades. They are very big specialists. And just looking at the luxury industry, the textile luxury industry has never left Europe. So you can guess that there are a lot of people servicing this industry. And that we can use the same as they do. So we are we use the same fabric as the luxury brands, but for a much lower price. Just giving you a small tip, and also the workwear industry. The workwear industry is a pure B2B business that has never left Europe. So you had also a lot of people being able to help us manufacturing what we need all over Europe. So that was the main challenge at the beginning, where I had to work hard to find the people and to convince them to follow us, to work with us. Because when you are very small and you make very small orders, you need to give some perspective to your partners. Otherwise, there's always an investment in the new relationship. So you need to have courageous partners so that they can, yes, help you and allow you to exist and allow you to try to play the game. And if you look, talking about the risk management, so establishing the supply chain in Europe was the challenge, because that was part of what we promised to our customers. So we were able to do it, but we did not do it alone. Huh? We just met the right people. But very interestingly, with what happened right after, like COVID, so you might say it's a constraint because it's more difficult. But it's always, you can always see it as an opportunity. And with what happened with COVID and disruption in supply chain, that was clearly an advantage. And after what has happened and what is going on today, there are big tensions being between China and the US. So it's a risk for business in the supply chain, in the global supply chain. So you can see today brands looking at European production, moving their production away from Asia closer to Europe or in Europe. And the reason why they do it, of course, in terms of communication, would be sustainability, for instance. Mm-hmm. But the real reason why they do it is for risk management and supply disruption. So what I mean is that you working differently can just be a way of minimizing your risk, and that gives you a competitive advantage in the end. Because if you bear less risk, well, it's less costly.
And in our previous conversation, we often had this as a topic of business intelligence. So seeing where you are now, and we spoke a little, and that was the link to the smart money. And of course, to what would you have done if you would have known what happened in the 5 years. And this is, as you said, when you see in a startup character or inspiring other persons, personalities and characters which live and breathe in our industry, what other recommendations? What do you think is the most important thing seeing Christoph 5 years ago talking to Christoph now?
Well, I think you need to be very, very convinced, because it's like getting married. So it's the same, I would say it's the same parallel. When you get married, the first days are always great, and then you don't especially imagine how it will be in 5, 10, 20, 40 years from the beginning. So what I mean is that you're going to spend your life with your project, so 24-hour days, 7 days a week. So you need to be really, really convinced and really motivated. Otherwise, you're going to lose track at some point, because there will be difficult times. There will be difficulties. You will have less conviction. You will be wondering whether it's right, wrong. Why am I doing this? I don't have the results I was expecting. So does it mean I'm wrong? Shall I wait? So it's exactly like waiting for the bus. Everybody has experienced that. So, because not everybody has experience being married, so waiting for the bus is a bit more common. But when you wait for the bus for 10 or 15 minutes, then you start wondering, shall the bus come? Shall I leave now? And then you wait. So the decision is not very easy. So you will face a lot of these situations when you, well, just a bit about life. But you will face a lot of these situations where you don't know exactly what you should do. And so you need to have like a target that you never move away, and you need to be very convinced. I think that's the main advice, if I can use that word. So whatever you want to launch or you decide to do, you need to be very convinced about the project, because there will be difficulties.
And seeing one more relevant for developing brands at the moment in the outdoor sector or in the sporting good market, what are the next challenges? What are the next steps? How do you feel end consumers at the moment, especially if it comes to changing behavior?
Well, I think there's a very big growing knowledge and concern about in the market and with consumers for how they consume, what they consume, what information do they have, and I think it's very growing more and more, and it's really accelerating. The good news, it's accelerating. The bad news is that there is a reason why it is accelerating. It's because the situation is worsening every day, so that's not very good news, but at least people are more and more concerned about that. And I think there's another interesting trend beside environment is the social part of the impact that we have. So if you look at, of course, the news every day, you see that the two big subjects are environment, of course, and the other one is the flow of migrants, the migration flows. And so that brings you to the social question, of course. And people are getting more and more aware of what's going on, that what we do has an impact environmentally or socially. So the more people will be aware, consumers, citizens, will be aware of just understanding we always have an impact when we make a decision. It's more thereafter to say, okay, how can I at least monitor that impact and then eventually reduce it?
Exactly, yeah. Seeing some bits and pieces which are already mentioned from your side, but driving towards the end of the podcast session, there are some quick questions, so spontaneous answers from the heart, from your authenticity, if you are ready. They are always on like the subject, how could that happen to me, or in a both positive and challenging way. So if you are ready, I would love to start.
It's good.
Your funniest or most embarrassing business moment?
Super hard.
You can always skip it.
You should have sent me the questions in advance.
Of course not.
The funniest one or most embarrassing? Well, they are not in the textile experience. They are mostly in my previous life when I was traveling. So the textile is a bit less exotic than my previous business. But the most embarrassing was when I was going to the sauna with the client in Russia, in the far east of Russia. And we were all naked with my colleagues. We are fully naked with your colleagues and the CFO of the company. So that's the type of very embarrassing situation where you understand the culture is very different there, and but you end up in the sauna anyway. So, well, that's an embarrassing one. Sorry, it's not about textile. Huh?
It's different with picture compared to just audio before. Your inspirational moment, who inspired you in a special or in a sustainable way? Who or what?
Yeah, I'm wondering all the time about that because I often have the question. So I have no very clear-cut answer. There is one person, it's not related to textile anyway, but one person like Barack Obama is really someone who's, I think, has had a lot of impact on me because he was coming, delivering a promise. He was... so revolutionary because, I mean, if you look back at the US history, electing someone like Barack Obama was not a given, frankly. And he was re-elected a second time. He did a lot of things that he could do on the social aspects, environmental aspects. And he was such a great speaker and such a great, I mean, so inspirational, in fact. So that kind of person is very, I think, should be, is not that much taken as an example in Europe. Nobody is really claiming in Europe, maybe in Germany, but not in France, like the heritage of a man like this. But I think it was a great chance, not only for the US, but also for Europe. So, yeah, a very big inspiration on that side. Sorry about I have no textile example.
No. This was not the aim. This was just, it's your personal show. It's not the textile show. Your contribution to making the world a little better.
My contribution, well, it's well, Lagoped is my contribution because I think on a very personal level, we are all human beings and with a lot of, we are not very coherent animals in the end, individually. And I think that's when we gather as a group that we become coherent, in fact. So because we establish some kind of rules or that we will follow thereafter. So Lagoped is much more, much better than I am personally, I would say, because as an individual, you're always worse than as a group because there's no one to just correct your behaviors. So that's my, yeah, that's the main contribution in the end would be each time we explain what we do to people, why we don't touch nature to produce the garments, and so why we are we see nature. So not as a, not as a playground or a swimming pool is a playground, but nature, mountains is not a playground. It's just an environmental space where, and we are part of it. So if each time we convince people, people tell us, oh, okay, I understand what you're saying. That's our contribution. So our contribution is not selling jackets. It's more people buying the jacket or not buying the jacket, but just understanding why we do it this way, because the way we do it this way is not proper to Lagoped or to mountaineering jackets, but it's a way of behaving in the end.
Your most trusted source, or what are your mantras, belief in your work?
Yeah, my main source.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like to, I have, I print sometimes some good, short aphorisms or short sentences from literature. So that's my main source will be clever people from the past, various ones. Who deliver a message that that you can just print, put on your in your office, so that every day you see the sentence and that becomes an echo where you it becomes a rule.
Can you show us your computer? Is there one printed by today?
So, you want me to show you?
No, if there is one right now.
Yeah. So I should use a few sentences.
Ah, okay, they are.
Not just one, but there are a few from time to time. There are new ones to join, but I had no time to stick them to it.
Is there a favorite?
So it's mainly about people writing about the coherence, about the truth, what is about lying. So it's really about the quest of doing things in a coherent way and not lying to yourself. And so in the end, not lying to others and just presenting you as you are. And that allows, in fact, not to move away from the initial DNA of the company or whatever. So really stick to it.
Is there any podcast or a book or a film you recently saw or which inspired you and you want to pass on?
Well, more on the textile side, huh? I love the book, the Shoe Dog book of Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. I think it's everybody working in the textile industry should read at least once in his life. It's a fantastic journey, very committed people, super passionate, and going to a super big success in the end. So there are a lot of good things to learn from developing a business. And then you can read through the pages. It takes time. It takes years, because usually when you look at the success of people, you don't really know how difficult it's been, how long it's been, and that you need, of course, to be lucky in the end. So what entrepreneurs sometimes forget, they present themselves as genius or very clever people, but there are more lucky people than super clever. Lucky meaning you need to be at the right place at the right time. And this is very hard to execute in the end. So that's also why people giving it a chance are the next generation entrepreneurs, because they might get to find a way to be at the right time and the right place.
How can people get in touch with you?
They can call Kim day and night. I'm gonna give the mobile to them, and so then Kim will direct
I'm gonna do the filter. This is very funny.
me. Is that okay with you?
Just leave about it.
No, well, they can send an email to any on the website of Lagoped or on the Instagram or Facebook, and that's the best way to get in touch with me. We are not thousands of people, so
It will find you.
it will be quick and easy.
Super good. Thank you so much for the conversation. Is there something like a call out to the industry? What you want to share as the last word on our session?
Well, I think just a message, would be to on the marketing and communication. I think these people are, I mean, citizens deserve, it's good to make business, but it is time to make business at a certain price or at a certain cost. So there are tough decisions to be made in the near future. And I hope the industry will make these tough decisions to transition faster and to raise the profile not only of the industry, but collectively of the people listening to them, consumers, citizens. So that everybody goes in the right direction and knows a bit more and makes a more enlightened choice, not I mean to buy, not to buy, what to buy, what to repair, and so on. But I mean, it's very important that there is a collective, not only brands or outdoor industry, but a collective progression.
Thanks for that. So we will not stop sharing thoughts and spread the word. Thanks for the conversation. Thanks everybody for listening. And if you liked what you hear, please spread the word in terms of Lagoped and everybody of us being responsible for change in our industry. Thank you so much. Speak soon.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks.
And have a very good day.
Bye-bye, Kim.
Hey, to jump off with a personal message. Do you like my podcast or not? Then help me get better or stay good, preferably via LinkedIn. And please spread the word, share it, and make our content even more relevant. Thank you very much, and see you next time.